Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is Marvelous Monday, May 6, 2013. We have yet another day, my friends, on this most beautiful planet to be alive, to be awake, to be aware, to be enthusiastic, as my good friend from California, Denise, likes to say from time to time. Another day to be alive, awake, aware, enthusiastic. Another day to be filled with gratitude. Another day to be thinking about our visions and where we're going in life. And, you know, that's what I did this morning when I woke up. I walked out my driveway and I repeated my major definite purpose and I repeated my self-confidence formula and I stepped into the future and I imagined how it was going to feel when I get to the next level that I'm working on in my life and how it was going to feel to know that I've impacted and helped so many more people that would be represented by that number that, you know, that I'm going for. And, you know, that's one of the things we got to do every day, my friends, is remind ourselves of our vision, remind ourselves of where we're going, remind ourselves of what we're already grateful for in life, right? And that's one of the things we encourage each other to do every day. So, my friends, I hope that today you have repeated your major definite purpose. I hope that today you have gone through your self-confidence formula. I hope that today your self-confidence in yourself is lifted a little bit, like mine is this morning, because I went through that self-confidence formula, and I now have a little bit more self-confidence than I did before, because, my friends, it's so important that we do that, so important that we do that. And I want to know, before we jump, I'll tell you, we've got a great call lined up today. I'm really excited about the content, really excited about the topic of what we're going to cover. I think it has the ability to make a dramatic impact on our business and on our lives. So just some good stuff we're going to go through today. But before we do, one of the things I love to do is hear the excitement on the line. So I just have a quick question. Who's excited? If you're excited about life, if you're grateful to be alive, if you've got an attitude of gratitude for this gift that we all have of the day, that we have to learn and grow and move forward and make better decisions so that we can end up in better places at the end of the day, at the end of next week, at the end of next month, at the end of next year, I want to hear you scream out loud as I unmute the lines right now. All right. Well, that is so awesome. I'm so glad to hear that we have so many people that are excited about life. You know, this movement is growing. We're going to stay excited. We're going to re-excite ourselves every day, and we're going to excite more people as more people start plugging into this call where we, you know, do our best to just help each other be the best that we can be. That's really the goal of this call, to be the best that we can be, to fulfill our potential in life, to fulfill our potential in business, to fulfill our potential on this earth, my friends. That's one of the things we strive to do every day on this call for ourselves and for others. So thank you. Thank you for participating in this vision. Thank you for being a part of this movement. Now, what I want to do real quick is share with you just a quick little story that happened to me over the weekend. And then we're going to go through the content of Think and Grow Rich, which we do every day on this call, right? We go through the formula. We work on understanding it on a deeper level. And then we'll go ahead and open up the lines for a mastermind portion of the call. The story that I wanted to share with everyone illustrates a really important point, and it also ties into what we're going to talk about today a little bit. So this last Friday night, my wife, she had a wedding reception to go to, and we had been working outside all day, and so I was kind of wanting to stay home and play hooky a little bit on the wedding reception. So my wife said, you know, well, if two of the kids can stay home with you, you know, I'll take two of the kids, and it'll all be great. So I convinced a couple of my kids to stay home with Dad and have a daddy night, and one of those kids is my five-year-old son named Camden. And so Camden, my five-year-old, stayed home with me, and then also my one-year-old, Cashton, stayed home with me Friday night. And so my wife and my two other boys went to this wedding reception, and we stayed home, and we played, and we had fun. And then I put the youngest one, Cashton, to bed, and then Camden and I were kind of hanging out together, and Camden wanted some ice cream. So I said, all right, let me go out to the freezer out in the garage and I'll grab some ice cream. So I went out and I came back in the house and I had two canisters of ice cream. I had orange, I had sherbet, and then I had vanilla ice cream. And I came in the house and I said, all right, Camden, I came in the kitchen. I said, here, we've got sherbet and we've got vanilla. And I said, which one do you want? And Camden, this brilliant little five-year-old, looks up at his dad and says, I want both, Dad. And when he said that, I thought back to this book that I read last week called Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. And I thought back to one of the principles taught in that book. And one of the principles taught in that book is T.R. Vecker in that book says that poor people think in terms of either or, and wealthy people think in terms of both. I'll have both. So when my little five-year-old looked up at me and he said, I'll have both, I'll have the vanilla and the sherbet, and I thought about that principle in The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T.R. Vecker, what do you think my response was? My response was, you bet, son. You can have both because you asked for both. Great job. And I patted him on the back and I gave him a hug and said, hey, I'm so proud of you for, you know, not limiting your thinking and making that decision that you can have both. And so I gave him both kinds of ice cream that night, Friday night. And I thought, a couple of things I thought, you know, when that experience happened. The first thing I'll tell you now and the first thing we'll jump into after we get through the chapter today. The first thing that I thought was, what if I had not read that book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind? What if I had not read that? And what if I had been limited by the idea that I had heard in the past, and we've all heard this saying, you can't have your cake and eat it too, which probably would have been the prevalent thought in my mind when my five-year-old son looked at me and said, I'll have both. Yet normally, I probably would have thought, no, son, you can't have both. You know, you can't have both. You need to pick one. But instead, because I had fortunately last week picked up a book and read through the book, think about the ramifications of what that might mean in my five-year-old's life as he grows up. That might mean the difference between growing up with a limited scarcity mentality type of belief versus growing up with a, hey, you know, I can have things that I want in life. I can choose to have both rather than either or. I mean, who knows? Who knows, right? Who knows what the difference is going to be in his life? But it could be vast, right? It could be huge. That little boy's life could be completely different because last week I chose to pick up a book and read a little bit, right? So I just wanted to reinforce to everyone on the call, you know, we talk about reading all the time, and we talk about reading good books, and we talk about putting good ideas into our heads. And I just wanted to reinforce with that story, hopefully, the reality that reading is not just for you, right? Reading is not just for me in my life. It's also for our children, and it's also for the people that we come into contact throughout our days, in our businesses, in our churches, in, you know, the social circles that we gather in. Reading is so that we can be a positive force for good in the world. Reading is so that we can be Armand likes to say, a minister of more, right? A preacher of prosperity, an ambassador of abundance. Reading can help us become all of those things in the world, and it's about way more than just, you know, us getting a good idea, because what will tend to happen as we get those good ideas is we'll pass them on, and those good ideas will go out there and affect the world. So I just wanted to remind everyone of how important reading is. And on the subject of reading, I read another book, or at least started. I got about halfway through it over the weekend, and I'll share this with you, just kind of introduce what we're going to cover today. I was reading a book over the weekend that was talking about the missing secret in the law of attraction. Now, many of us have heard of the law of attraction. Maybe some of us have seen the movie The Secret. And this book that I was reading was kind of railing against the law of attraction a little bit and talking about how, you know, this law of attraction, it's missing some stuff, you know, and it's missing some things, you know, like action. You know, sometimes people think, you know, just sit around and think about something all day long, and through this law of attraction, you know, the car, the home, the stuff will be attracted into your life. But the focus of this book that I was reading was talking about how there was one missing secret that, when applied, would make all the difference in the law of attraction. And this book, this author was talking about how nobody who's teaching the law of attraction talks about this one missing secret. And so obviously I'm digging, and I've got my mind open, and I'm looking, well, what is the secret? What is the secret? You know, what is this secret that nobody's talked about, that nobody's teaching, right? And I finally got to the secret. And you know what was interesting when I got to the secret is I said to myself, isn't that fascinating that Dr. Napoleon Hill teaches this in the book Think and Grow Rich? And I breathed a sigh of relief to know that this secret is being taught in Think and Grow Rich, and it is being taught on this call, and it is being taught to all the people who make a serious study of the book Think and Grow Rich. And also, isn't it a coincidence that the topic that we're going to cover today is the secret that that author in that book said wasn't being taught? Gosh, the universe is just winking at us, my friends. We're going to cover that secret today, and it's a really important one. I agree with that author. It's a really important one, and I believe it can make all the difference between whether we succeed or whether we fail in our endeavor. So, in our effort. So, what we're going to do is we're going to cover the last few pages of the chapter on the mystery of sex transmutation. Okay, kind of a strange title for a chapter. If you're not familiar with the chapter, that's okay. You will get familiar with it, and have a feeling you'll come to get a lot out of the chapter. But this subtitle that we're going to start into is there is no other road to genius than through voluntary self-effort. So I want to encourage everyone to have your minds open, as always, as we come to this call to learn and grow and become better, and maybe even have your notepads out, as I like to do as I'm going through the chapter and also going through the mastermind portion of the call, just ready to receive the communications that seem to come to us at just the right time and just the right way when we're ready for them. We need to be jotting those down, my friends, and maybe even transferring them into our journals. So I'm hoping that we're going to get some of those nuggets, some of those communications, some of those things that each of us need today at the particular point in the journeys that we're all on. So here we go. A man may attain to great heights of financial or business achievement solely by the driving force of sex energy, but history is filled with evidence that he may, and usually does, carry with him certain traits of character which rob him of the ability to either hold or enjoy his fortune. This is worthy of analysis, thought, and meditation, for it states a truth, the knowledge of which may be helpful to women as well as men. Ignorance of this has cost thousands of people their privilege of happiness, even though they possessed riches. The emotions of love and sex leave their unmistakable marks upon the features. Moreover, these signs are so visible that all who wish may read them. The man who is driven by the storm of passion, based upon sex desires alone, plainly advertises that fact to the entire world by the expression of his eyes and the lines of his face. The emotion of love, when mixed with the emotion of sex, softens, modifies, and beautifies the facial expression. No character analyst is needed to tell you this. You may observe it for yourself. The emotion of love brings out and develops the artistic and the aesthetic nature of man. It leaves its impress upon one's very soul, even after the fire has been subdued by time and circumstance. Memories of love never pass. They linger, guide, and influence long after the source of stimulation has faded. There is nothing new in this. Every person who has been moved by genuine love knows that it leaves enduring traces upon the human heart. The effect of love endures because love is spiritual in nature. The man who cannot be stimulated to great heights of achievement by love is hopeless. He is dead, though he may seem to live. Even the memories of love are sufficient to lift one to a higher plane of creative effort. The major force of love may spend itself and pass away, like a fire which has burned itself out, but it leaves behind indelible marks as evidence that it passed that way. Its departure often prepares the human heart for a still greater love. Go back into your yesterdays at times and bathe your mind in the beautiful memories of past love. It will soften the influence of the present worries and annoyances. It will give you a source of escape from the unpleasant realities of life. And maybe, who knows, your mind will yield to you during this temporary retreat into the world of fantasy, ideas or plans which may change the entire financial or spiritual status of your life. If you believe yourself unfortunate because you have loved and lost, perish the thought. One who has loved truly can never lose entirely. Love is whimsical and temperamental. Its nature is ephemeral and transitory. It comes when it pleases and goes away without warning. Accept and enjoy it while it remains, but spend no time worrying about its departure. Worry will never bring it back. Dismiss also the thought that love never comes but once. Love may come and go, times without number, but there are no two love experiences which affect one in just the same way. There may be, and there usually is, one love experience which leaves a deeper imprint on the heart than all the others. But all love experiences are beneficial, except to the person who becomes resentful and cynical when love makes its departure. There should be no disappointment over love, and there would be none if people understood the difference between the emotions of love and sex. The major difference is that love is spiritual, while sex is biological. No experience which touches the human heart with a spiritual force can possibly be harmful, except through ignorance or jealousy. Love is, without question, life's greatest experience. It brings one into communication with infinite intelligence. When mixed with the emotions of romance and sex, it may lead one far up the ladder of creative effort. The emotions of love, sex, and romance are sides of the eternal triangle of achievement-building genius. Nature creates genii through no other force. Love is an emotion with many sides, shades, and colors. The love which one feels for parents or children is quite different from that which one feels for one's sweetheart. The one is mixed with the emotion of sex, while the other is not. The love which one feels in true friendship is not the same as that felt for one's sweetheart, parents, or children, but it, too, is a form of love. Then there is the emotion of love for things inanimate, such as the love of nature's handiwork. But the most intense and burning of all these various kinds of love is that experienced in the blending of the emotions of love and sex. Marriage is not blessed with the eternal affinity of love, properly balanced and proportioned with sex, cannot be happy ones, and seldom endure. Love alone will not bring happiness in marriage, nor will sex alone. When these two beautiful emotions are blended, marriage may bring about a state of mind closest to the spiritual that one may ever know on this earthly plane. When the emotion of romance is added to those of love and sex, the obstructions between the finite mind of man and infinite intelligence are removed. Then a genius has been born. What a different story is this than those usually associated with the emotion of sex? Here is an interpretation of the emotion which lifts it out of the commonplace and makes of it potter's clay in the hands of God, from which he fashions all that is beautiful and inspiring. It is an interpretation which would, when properly understood, bring harmony out of the chaos which exists in too many marriages. The disharmonies often expressed in the form of nagging may usually be traced to lack of knowledge on the subject of sex. Where love, romance, and the proper understanding of the emotion and function of sex abide, there is no disharmony between married people. Fortunate is the husband whose wife understands the true relationship between the emotions of love, sex, and romance. When motivated by this holy triumvirate, no form of labor is burdensome, because even the most lowly form of effort takes on the nature of a labor of love. It is a very old saying that a man's wife may either make him or break him, but the reason is not always understood. The making and breaking is the result of the wife's understanding or lack of understanding of the emotions of love, sex, and romance. Despite the fact that men are polygamous by the very nature of their biological inheritance, it is true that no woman has as great an influence on a man as his wife, unless he is married to a woman totally unsuited to his nature. If a woman permits her husband to lose interest in her and become more interested in other women, it is usually because of her ignorance or indifference toward the subjects of sex, love, and romance. This statement presupposes, of course, that genuine love once existed between a man and his wife. The facts are equally applicable to a man who permits his wife's interest in him to die. Married people often bicker over a multitude of trivialities. Of these, if these are analyzed accurately, the real cause of the trouble will often be found to be indifference or ignorance on these subjects. Man's greatest motivating force is his desire to please woman. The hunter who excelled during prehistoric days before the dawn of civilization did so because of his desire to appear great in the eyes of woman. Man's nature has not changed in this respect. The hunter of today brings home no skins of wild animals, but he indicates his desire for her favor by supplying fine clothes, motor cars, and wealth. Man has the same desire to please woman that he had before the dawn of civilization. The only thing that has changed is his method of pleasing. Men who accumulate large fortunes and attain to great heights of power and fame do so mainly to satisfy their desire to please women. Take women out of their lives and great wealth would be useless to most men. It is this inherent desire of man to please woman which gives woman the power to make or break a man. The woman who understands man's nature and tactfully caters to it need have no fear of competition from other women. Men may be giants with indomitable willpower when dealing with other men, but they are easily managed by the women of their choice. Most men will not admit that they are easily influenced by the women they prefer because it is in the nature of the male to want to be recognized as the stronger of the species. Moreover, the intelligent woman recognizes this manly trait and very wisely makes no issue of it. Some men know that they are being influenced by the women of their choice, their wives, sweethearts, mothers, or sisters, but they tactfully refrain from rebelling against the influence because they are intelligent enough to know that no man is happy or complete without the modifying influence of the right woman. The man who does not recognize this important truth deprives himself of the power which has done more to help men achieve success than all other forces combined. So, my friends, there we have that missing secret that the author that I was reading over the weekend was talking about, and that missing secret that is maybe sometimes not taught in self-development circles is this most amazing quality that I don't know that any of us fully understand called love. I know we've all experienced it. I know we've all experienced the power that it has. I wanted to make just a couple of comments here, and then we'll open up the lines for the mastermind portion of the call. Love, you know, obviously Dr. Napoleon Hill here is talking about love in a marriage and love in a relationship and how important that is. And we also know that one of the 30 major causes of failure is wrong selection of a spouse or a partner in a relationship. So we know how important it is to have love and harmony within that relationship that we have within our home. There's probably a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is through the mastermind principle. It's important that we have a mastermind combined with those who are closest to us, right? So that's important that we do that. But I wanted to speak for just a moment on the importance of love in business and having a love for the people that we're endeavoring to serve. I haven't been perfect at this, but you know, it's one of the things that I have tried to do in my business is I have tried to have a love for my prospects and I have tried to have a love for my team. And one of the things that I remind myself on a daily basis in my personal manifesto I have this line in there, I love people and people love me. And I can tell you just from my own personal experience that this has been probably one of the greatest things that has helped me to get where I'm at is just this effort. And again, I'll restate, I'm not perfect at it, but I do try, and I have tried to love the people that I serve. It's one of the reasons that I've done this call every day now for three years in June. I try to love people, and I try to help people succeed. And that love, or at least that attempted love, is recognized by people, right? It's recognized. It's felt. It's something that can't be faked. And when we have this, or at least when we try to have this love for people, and we try to be motivated by a desire to help mankind and help the people around us, that spirit, that mysterious quality, it spills over into every aspect of our business, spills over into our marketing, it spills over into our conference calls, it spills over into our prospecting calls, if we're doing prospecting calls, it spills over into our meetings. And I've noticed as I've met various people throughout the home business profession, some people that you run into, you can clearly see that they are motivated not out of a desire to love and to help and to serve, but they're motivated purely out of a desire for personal profit and personal gain. And my experience has been when you talk to those people or you run into those people, you kind of feel for them, you feel bad for them, but you also have a desire to get away from them, right? I don't know, it's kind of strange. You just instantly know that their intention is not for the good of the whole, but rather just for themselves, and they're not motivated out of that desire, you know, that quality of love. And you just, you know who they are. You know where it's at. It comes out. It's something that, you know, just can't be hidden. So this desire for love is really, really, or this desire, or not this desire, but this quality of love is so important in business. And it's one of the things that we're reminded of in the self-confidence formula. Dr. Napoleon Hill, in that fifth paragraph of the self-confidence formula, one of the lines is, I will eliminate hatred, envy, and jealousy, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity. Wonder why that line is in that fifth paragraph of the self-confidence formula. Need we think very hard to come to the conclusion that it's important? And I also wanted to make one final comment here, and then I'll open up the lines, and I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on this particular topic. You know, I started the call today talking about that experience I had with my five-year-old on Friday where he asked for both kinds of ice cream. And instead of saying either or, you know, I said, yeah, you bet, Camden, you can have both kinds of ice cream. I wanted to just talk for a minute about how that relates to this topic of love and this topic of business. You know, I got an email over the weekend from someone that I actually go to church with who somehow got on one of my email lists, right? And the email that I got from this person expressed this thought. And the thought was, you know, I have sworn off business because I am devoting all of my time, efforts, and energy to being in the service of God. And therefore, I'm out of business. And there was kind of this sense that, you know, Paul, you should figure out how to do that as well, you know, because your mission in life is bigger than business. There was kind of that sense in the email, right? And as I thought about that, I was reminded of my son Camden on Friday night where he said, I'll have both the sherbet and the vanilla. And I was reminded about this topic of love and this topic of business. And I was reminded, I believe, of a great truth that I feel that I've discovered, and that is my purpose in life and business does not have to be separated from my spiritual life and my journey here on this earth. In other words, in my opinion, I can serve God. I can strive to become the best person that I can be. I can have love in my life, and that can permeate my business, and my business can be a part of that, and it doesn't have to be separate. See, poor people like to say that money is evil and money is unholy, and, you know, all things that are holy must be in some way disconnected with money. And for me, my personal belief, I feel like I've kind of moved beyond that a little bit, to where I'm kind of like my 5-year-old son Camden, where I'm saying to myself, I want both, you know? I want to have financial security for my family. I want that. I want to help others have financial security for their families, because we all know that money is important. But at the same time, I want to have love. I want to have purpose. I want to teach people. I want to inspire people. I want to help people have faith. I want to help people have brighter visions. I want to help people see a better world. I want to do all of this. And you know what? For me, I feel like that is a big part of my purpose on earth. I believe that that is a big part of fulfilling, you know, maybe what God has in store for me here on this planet. And it's all tied in with generating income, right? So this idea of love, so important, and I think it's so important for all of us to realize that we can have the sherbet and the vanilla. We can have love in our business, and it doesn't have to be disconnected. Doesn't have to be disconnected. You know, one of the things that drives me nuts is sometimes I hear, and it's not even sometimes, it's actually quite a bit, I hear, you know, people talking about how bad money is, and how, you know, how unholy it is, and how, you know, how it's not so good. But then in the same conversations, I hear people talking about how tough things are for people financially, you know, and how, you know, they're in these groups where people get to close to retirement age or at retirement age, and they're all struggling financially. And I've got to ask myself the question, well, I wonder if there's a correlation there. I wonder if the fact that we're teaching people that money is bad and that it's unholy and that you got to separate it from your spiritual life, I wonder if that idea maybe is part of the cause for why so many people get to the, you know, the latter portions of their lives and they're in such a need for financial help. And I wonder, maybe can we reverse those? Maybe can we start teaching people that you can have both, that you can have money and be holy at the same time, that you can serve people in business, earn money, and lift people up spiritually? Can we have both, right? Can we have that stuff? And maybe would that reverse the trend of so many people getting to the end of their lives and being in such rough shape financially? So that's part of my mission. That's part of what I think we're doing on this call, is we're really striving to help people understand a bigger purpose and also try to help people maybe switch around some of those beliefs and understand that we can have both. I believe we can have both, my friends. I believe we can have abundance. And I believe we're doing that for ourselves and also doing a great job of helping a lot of people. You know, we've got over 400 people live on this call. Can you imagine? All throughout the world, people dialing in and having their minds stretched and maybe having some of their beliefs challenged and just growing and learning and striving to learn how to be better people in the world. It's a beautiful thing, and I sure appreciate you for being a part of it. So with that, my friends, I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines, and I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on the call this morning and your stories and your experiences, as I have my notepad out ready to learn. 1 second. *6, come on out.
How you doing today?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Andrew. I've actually just started hopping on these calls over the past couple weeks, so thank you very much. And what an amazing way to start the day. Then with the thoughts and ideas that you shared about spreading love and really finding that right connection when it comes to your, like, romantic relationships and finding balance within that. Because I think that when you find balance within your core being, that's when everything else starts to fall in place. So my personal opinion on on sharing love from yourself, with those around you, serving others, that's just going to tie directly into finding financial success, to finding spiritual success. I think it's all interconnected, because when you get to that point in your life, you find an alignment. So everything in the world and in the universe is energy, right? And everything is vibrating. And my personal belief is when we really start to focus on those things, the thoughts that we put into our minds, and we really start to surround ourselves with people and situations. Those vibrations align. And when you start, and thank you again for the book recommendation on Start With Why. I think it was last week. It's been amazing. I'm going through it. But I think when you really ask yourself that question, why am I doing this? And you start with your purpose, that builds a foundation, not just for success for you, but for success with everybody that you meet. Because all you're doing is radiating your purpose. You're radiating love. You're radiating compassion. You're radiating just wanting to help others see that they have the same power within themselves to decide to design their life, to decide to emit only good, and in emitting only good, will choose to receive only good. Now, will there be bad? Of course. There's going to be good and bad in the world. They wouldn't exist without each other. But when you focus on it, that's when you start to bring it into your life. So when you're emitting just happiness, you're emitting just love, you're emitting balance, you're emitting prosperity, you're emitting interest, you're emitting compassion, you're just going to attract that back and magnify it.
Great thoughts, Andrew. Thank you, my friend. Glad you're here. Star 6 is next.
Charles from Los Angeles.
Hey, did I hear Bill there and then Charles?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, Bill, go ahead. I think you were first there and then Charles, please.
Yes, good morning, everybody. After your reading today, there were three different quotes that came to mind. And the first one is that it is better to have loved and lost than not to have loved at all. And the next one is, love is the desire to bless with everything you have. And the final one is, it's from The Peaceful Warrior, which has really had a big impact on my life over this last week as I've been reading and studying. And it says, you know, the ones who are the hardest to love are usually the ones who need it the most. And it's such a powerful... the book is called The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, and the movie is called The Peaceful Warrior. And I would highly recommend the book. It's absolutely an incredible piece. I know one of the gentlemen in our business had mentioned it, and I know it had an impact on his life. And as a result of what he said, I can see why he is where he is. So anyhow, I just wanted to share that with you this morning. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Bill. Powerful stuff. Charles, go ahead, sir.
I want to talk about when you said the love of money and people said money is evil. And in certain religions, some people misquote that says the love of money is evil, but it doesn't say that. It says the love of money is evil. And money is amoral. It's just how we use the money. So if we become prosperous and we help other people become prosperous, then we're doing good. It's just that when we lust and greed for money, is that it turns us bad. And another thing about love, I like to use athletes and businessmen as examples. As you see, when they're on stage or when they get drafted, they always have a partner with them who they pertain to love. If it's young athletes, it's either their mother or their grandmother, rich businessmen, it was their wives. So the part of love and partnership, you've never seen someone be successful by themselves. It's always someone who loved them, who was behind them. And thank you, and everybody have a great Monday.
Great points, Charles. Thank you, my friend. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul.
Hey.
Good morning.
Annabelle here from Norfolk, Virginia.
Good morning, Annabelle.
I just wanted to... everything that is on this call is absolutely fantastic, by the way. I enjoyed it so much every morning and enjoyed the energy of everyone that's on the call. But I want to talk about business for just a moment. I have had the experience of being in a traditional business for, this is my 40th year. It masquerades as food and beverage, this traditional business. But truthfully, I honestly believe that the reason we've been allowed to be in this business for so many years and be so wildly successful in it is that we're clear that it's not about the food and beverage business, it's about the people business. And I really believe in my heart that God puts a desire in everyone's heart to be where they're supposed to be, to do what they're supposed to do. And when you're in tune and you listen to that, you really are empowered to do that. And it all comes back to people, because that's God's business. God's business is people, and God's business is love. And when you put it out there, whatever it is, it's going to come back to you. And we talk about the law of attraction, and it's the law of attraction is very real, and yes, it works. But there are other universal laws that also work, and they're God's laws. And they work whether we're tuned into them or not. They work whether we believe in them or not. And one of those laws is the law of action. So without the law of action and taking action on something, regardless of whether or not you're inspired to be there or do anything, God is really the power, I believe, that comes behind all of us, the wind beneath our wings, so to speak. And when it really comes down to the bottom line, love is seriously all there is. And it's about an interaction between people and between souls. And I really believe that we're here to serve each other. And that can look like a lot of different things. But that's God's work, and that's why we're here, is to serve each other. And we serve each other through business. So to step aside and say, oh, well, you know, love and light, love and light. I'm like over here, and I'm doing God's work, and prayerfully I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Well, what action are you taking? You know, you can stay home underneath your spiritual afghan all day long, you know, saying praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The bottom line is you need to get out there in the middle of what's going on also. It's like to take action on it. And that involves God's business, and business can be that, and that can be God in motion. And that's all I got to say. I love y'all. Yara, absolutely. This call is absolutely fantastic in the morning. And you are doing God's work. You are. And don't you kid yourself for 1 minute. And as far as your son is concerned, his little ice cream deal, that just reinforces. We live in an and world. We don't live in an or world. Nowhere is it written that you have to have this or that. You can have this and that. And you just be mindful about how you're using it and to not abuse it. And that's part of God's laws also. And that's all I got to say about that. I just want to hear everybody else.
Annabelle, brilliant. We love you. So glad you're here. Wow, you've inspired me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul,
people
John.
Is God's business. What a quote is that? Wow. John, go ahead, sir.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to back Paul up on that one. That was quite the earful there, Annabelle. And I just want to say thank you. You know, for someone coming to us with a 40-year background in the food and beverage industry, that is amazing, because quite frankly, that business can be, the margins in there are ruthlessly slim, and for you to have been in business for that long and to be successful at it obviously shows that you know what you are doing. So good for you. You know, that really dovetails into what I wanted to say in regards to today's topic. You know, when I was younger, I was raised in the hood, quite frankly, where it was really shark eat shark. It wasn't dog eat dog. It was shark eat shark, because if you were a dog, you were going to get chomped on. and my whole mindset was not about love, not about giving, not about leadership, not about compassion, but it was more along the lines of, it's not enough that I win, but you must also lose. And it wasn't until I became exposed to these types of principles that I started to love myself, to love yourself, that I started to be able to love others in the way that I do now. Now, that key right there, to first love yourself before you can love others. There's a lot of folks that are dealing with issues that, quite frankly, they're being held up by these self-limiting beliefs that they're not good enough, that this works for other people, it's not going to work for them, that whatever, just insert self-limiting belief that had been developed in childhood by people that quite frankly don't matter anyways. That's really the bottom line. If you take the time to start to love yourself, and how do you love yourself? Okay, how do you feel worthy? Well, you start to love yourself and you start to feel worthy of love by disciplining yourself. If you know that you're supposed to be doing something and you don't do it, then you feel bad about it. I mean, that's really the bottom line. But if you know that you're supposed to be doing something like taking action on building your business, and you know that every day you are taking the required action steps in order to manifest that reality, you have the freedom to love yourself, because guess what? I'm worthy. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Whether or not I have the outward signs of success right now, that's okay, because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I know that I'm changing. I know that within time, my outward success will rival and surpass. Well, maybe it doesn't ever surpass your inner success, but at the same time, when you focus on yourself, when you focus on loving yourself, on doing the things that you should be doing, that gives you the energy, that gives you the permission to love other people. And when you love other people, it shows. It shows. Paul hit it right on the head. You know, with the more industry events that I go to, you know right away when you connect with a person, when you connect with a leader, you know whether or not that person is in it for themselves or that person is in it to really serve people, to really serve their team. Now, I've been fortunate enough that people can really feel the love that I bring to the table. You know, people are drawn to that. People are drawn to other people that really actually care about them, that truly want them to succeed, and that truly are about empowering others. So if you want to lead others, if you want to show people that there is a better way, start with loving yourself. It'll give you the permission that you need and the opportunity to love other people as well. Back to you, Paul.
John, excellent as always. Let me clear the line here. Love you, John. Thank you. Star 6, who's next? Keep it rolling here this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, my name is Deborah. This is my first time calling in, but I do get a chance to listen in. And talk about the sexual, the husband and the wife. Well, I actually have a book called How to Attract Men and Money. It's How to Marry the Right Man and Help Your Husband Make a Fortune. And this book was actually written by Rosalie Hill, which was Napoleon Hill's wife. And it's a book like from 1940. And I was like, wow, if women would have gotten this book a long time ago, probably definitely would have saved and helped some marriages. But it's an excellent book by her, from 1940. And that's what I wanted to share. Thank you so much for the call.
Wow, that's fascinating. Deborah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that, and thanks for having the courage to come out. So glad you're here.
Hey, Paul, it's Elvire.
This is
Elvire. Yeah, Elvire was first there. Go ahead, Elvire.
Hey, good morning. I just had a couple of things coming up, especially in the beginning already. To me, love is the glue that holds everything together, because love is a vibration. It's an energy, and it makes you feel good. So it just, you know, it really puts it all together. My dear mentor said, and I just really like this quote, and I got it on the wall here, you know, like, we care about other people, but not too much, because you have to be able to detach yourself. We often want something more for somebody else than they want it for themselves, so we have to be careful with that. So I like that very much. We care, but not too much. If there is no love, everything falls apart. It disintegrates. It really falls just into pieces. The business schools don't teach anything about love. Guess why business is often so incredibly hard? Because I believe also what people want, and I've said this before, we want to have experiences. We want to have good experiences. Well, the experiences, if it's good, what we want to give to people are based on love. Can you help somebody have an experience like that? And in loving myself, as John Chapman said, which is something, I don't know who teaches that, but really that is the fundamental truth of everything. In loving myself, I love my creator because I acknowledge my creator. And that's it for right now. I have much more, but I'm keeping it brief. Thanks, Paul.
Elvire, brilliant as always. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There was a gentleman coming out there with Elvire. Who was that?
Yeah, that was Armand out of San Diego. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, Armand, doing great, man. Good to hear you today.
Oh, good. Outstanding, outstanding. Just first off, I want to say good morning to the Think and Grow Rich community, preachers of prosperity, ministers of more, super doers, striking Vikings, kings and queens. This is Armand coming out of San Diego, and I was thrown back because Elvire, you said exactly your first five statements about love being the highest vibration. That's pretty much all I was going to get out and say. And then as I was listening and learning from what you were saying about that, it threw me back to an event I went to a couple of weeks ago. And one of my teammates that came up to the event did something for my team, and they came out and had something on relationships. And it was for married couples. We had some singles there. And one thing that was key was looking at their 20-year marriage that they had, and it was definitely about love, but it started me thinking about, okay, well, what about if somebody is single? What about if somebody is married? And how does this translate into business? And what I took from it was that first we have to have a relationship with ourselves. If we can have a great relationship with ourselves, we can therefore communicate effectively to other people and get our message out, and it starts with ourselves. So love is the highest vibration. Thank you so much, Paul. I love this community. I love the energy. I feel the energy. Peace, love, and light to everybody. I love you all.
We love you, Armand. You're awesome. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hey. Good morning, Paul. Dr. Mitchell.
Hey, Dr. Mitchell, good morning.
Rex from San Diego.
Hey, Dr. Mitchell, let me close the lines real quick. Just Dr. Mitchell, star 6, and come out if you would, please.
Okay, I'm back. And happy magical Monday to everyone. It's great to be here. I was thinking about our last conversation and how the concept of sex mutation and how that really affects our humanness. And having the background that I do in the medicine, I thought I'd give one possible explanation. If you have studied anything, if you ever watched the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, if you haven't, I highly, highly suggest it. It really fits in with what we're doing on this call. But each emotion is tied, everything that we do, everything we think and feel, more so the feelings, is tied into the ability of our brains, the hippocampus, which is the emotional center, to actually produce proteins consisting of a combination of amino acids. So when you have a thought and it's tied to an emotion, you're producing a particular protein. When you have the thought, well, it gets stimulated by sex, you also produce certain hormones and these proteins which stimulate this part of our brain which excites us in ways that no other kind of stimulation can. And that's where I think the concept of transmuting sex into a higher plane and into more forms of mental stimulation really comes about. Because if you imagine, I like to equate a lot of things to food. So if you took a particular ingredient and mix it into a recipe, you're going to get an outcome. If you take the same recipe and add a different spice, you can change the whole recipe. And to me, when I was thinking about over the weekend, how do we change sex mutation into our stimulating our spices of life? It's really by understanding that we're creating this chemistry in our brain. So the thoughts that we have, the emotions we tie to it, I spent a lot of time over the weekend just transmuting my thoughts and desires into actions as by creating this form of chemistry in my brain, which then caused me to go, oh, well, I'm going to take the next action now that I've got this new stimulation. And it's amazing what little things like dancing can do, or walking around with a big smile on my face, like one of the things Tony Robbins talks about. You know, you want to change your mood, just literally plaster a smile on your face, and it changes the chemistry. And, you know, there are studies out of MIT proving this. So I offer this to everyone out there. When you're thinking about sex, you're thinking about love, you're thinking about transmuting this into actions and behaviors that can change the direction we're going in, walk around with that smile, do a little dancing around the house, have two different types of ice cream, and just have a magical Monday, everyone. Back to you, Paul.
We love you, Dr. Mitchell. Just brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Mahara.
That was amazing, Dr. Mitchell. Thank you for sharing that. I also want to refer back to, he said, what the bleep do we know? And I think it was Bill that mentioned The Peaceful Warrior. If you watch those two things in The Secret, or if you read them over and over and over again, your life will change, along with Think and Grow Rich, of course. Those are three powerful sources of information, and I think it's incredible that we're all so much on the same wavelength. It really gets me excited. But so much, there's so many thoughts firing off in my head. When he talks about transmuting energy, there is nothing more sacred that you can do than to transmute something negative into something positive, or to transmute something that is not useful into something useful. And I am an avid spiritual seeker, and I received a lot of pushback in my 20s and 30s, because I went on a journey that took me through everything from Eckankar to Eastern thought to Wicca, even Indian chiefs. I studied all kinds of spiritual information, which, you know, caused my family to have a little bit of a panic. But I knew that God Almighty could perceive the earnestness of my seeking. And one of the most powerful lessons I learned on this journey was about the body of Christ, or however you want to think of that in your mind, the all of the Almighty, the wholeness of that being. And if you think about that, that God teaches us things by inference, you can infer powerful things, powerful truths, by noticing God's handiwork, by noticing that there's consistency. The sun comes up every single morning. There's organization, there's pattern. And also, when you look at how God designed our bodies, what happens when there's a cancer cell? We have powerful warrior cells that go in and transmute that negativity. And if they fail to do so, the being withers and dies. And I like to think of each of us volunteering or transmuting negativity. We're like little cells in the body of the all that is. And when we are contributing something worthy, it doesn't matter if we're working in the spleen or if we're working in the big toe. If we're doing our part, if we are bringing something useful to the whole and thinking outside of ourselves, then we are in harmony with God's law. Back to you, Paul.
Wow, Mahara, thank you. Profound and beautiful. Thank you. Star 6, who's next? You have a couple of minutes left. Just love that.
Paul, this is...
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. There's a lady there. Go ahead.
San Diego.
Who's the lady? The lady, I think, was first there.
It was Elise. I'll be very, very quick. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning. What an amazing call. Annabelle... awesome. Everybody that contributed. I just have one quick thing to say. Next life, I'm coming back as your kid, Paul, or I'm coming back as my Harris kid. Can you guys imagine starting your life, if you knew these things, if your parents truly taught you these things? And just like Annabelle was saying, we have that right. Little kids know that we have that right. If you want both, you have the right for it. That's all I wanted to say. Good morning, everybody. Have a fabulous day. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Elise. Sure appreciate you. Was there a gentleman coming out there real quick? We've got about 1 minute left.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
San Diego.
Good morning.
There's two of us. let San Diego go, and then I'll come back. I've got a quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Did I get off mute?
Yep, you're live. Go ahead, sir.
Paul, let me ask my question while he gets sorted out. Can you give me your website address slowly and your email? I have tried and tried, and I can't seem to find it.
The website for our call is thinkandgrowrichaudios.com.
And it's spelled out A-N-D?
It sure is, yep.
Grow Rich.
Yeah, go ahead and go there, and you can get that info.
Audios.com.
Well, hey, folks. We're at the top of the hour here, so I'm going to go ahead and close out the call. I want to thank everyone for another just uplifting, inspirational call. Thank you for helping me bring that to my life on a daily basis. And I wanted to share one final thought with everyone. You know, as we were talking about love, a couple of different points in the conversation, the thought that we need to love ourselves was brought up. The thought that we need to love ourselves was brought up, and I couldn't help but thinking of one of the incredible insights that I had over the last little bit. And just kind of as a preface, we're not here to, you know, preach religion to anybody. We're not here to value one religion over another. We are here to seek wisdom, and I believe that there's wisdom in all religions and all forms of spirituality. So I'm always looking for stuff that can help. And there's a line from the Bible that maybe some of us are familiar with that says something to the effect of, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I think a lot of people sometimes, we get that wrong. We think that somehow we're supposed to love our neighbors more than we love ourselves. But the line says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's an equalness there. So we do need to learn to love ourselves. We do need to learn to respect ourselves as we also learn to love those around us and just value everything, right? Value all people. Value all religions, creeds, colors, races, belief systems, and just love and appreciate people. So my friends, hey, listen, I love you guys. I love my Think and Grow Rich family. Let's get out there today. Live the Think and Grow Rich way by remembering our definite major purpose. Taking action, plowing through temporary setbacks, and be a positive force in the world today, my friends. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Bye for now.